Turn with me tonight, if you would please, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 in your Bible. We'll begin reading at verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 5, begin our reading at verse 1. You can follow with me in your Bibles. The Bible says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the word of God, and we thank you for the challenges that it brings to us in our daily lives, how it speaks to our hearts, and Father, how it renews our mind. And I pray tonight that as we look at the things which will attend this passage, that your Holy Spirit would open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of your people to receive your word, that it might go forth and do its work, that it might accomplish your desire and perform what you desire for it to perform tonight. We pray you'd be with those who are watching and listening, that they also might be blessed and encouraged and strengthened. And we just pray, Father, that you might be glorified, Jesus might be magnified, your people might be edified, and sinners might be saved. And Father, we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The first four verses of chapter 5 all are written to the pastors, giving specific instructions concerning leadership. Beginning at verse 5, the apostle addresses the younger and admonishes them to submit themselves unto the elder. The word elder there referring to people who are older. Then he addressed the entire congregation. And the subject is the subject of submission or subjection with humility. It means to yield. And God honors and exalts those who do humble themselves, submit themselves with humility, and he resists those who do not. In verse 6, God equates rebellion against proper authority as rebellion against him. Look what it says in verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." In verse 8 is where I want to get to tonight. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The word devour here is the word katapino. It means to swallow up. We have an example of that in Hebrews chapter 11. Keep your place, but go over a few pages to your left to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at verse 29. The same word, katapino, that's translated devour, is translated a little differently here in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 29, where it says, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do were drowned." The word drowned is the word katapino, devoured. The sea devoured them, didn't it? The sea swallowed them up. And there's something said about them, and you don't need to turn there, but I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, where that account is given. And it says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." Ye shall see them again no more forever. Why? Because they were going to be devoured. Why? Because they're going to be swallowed up. Why? Because they were all going to drown. Now, the devil wishes to devour us. He wishes to swallow us up. He wishes to, if we will, drown us somehow. And how can he accomplish this? Well, we're going to look at that. The first point tonight is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're talking about how does the devil devour people? How does he devour people? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 3. And the first point is this. He devours his victims. And his victims are, number one, the doomed. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The Bible is very clear. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And of course, chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The devil wants to swallow souls up in the bottomless pit of hell for all eternity. But he has a problem. The devil has a problem accomplishing all that he wants to accomplish in swallowing souls up and bringing them into the what? Lake of fire. Well, they will drown, so to speak, in conscious torment for all eternity. You know what his problem is? His problem is that he provided a Savior. God provided a Savior. And so the devil, he wants trying to swallow souls up, and yet God sent a Savior to save them. He came and seek and save that which was lost. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, how shall we escape? Escape what? Escape the tortures of hell if we neglect so great salvation. And the answer to that is you can't escape hell if you neglect the salvation that God has provided through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, right? Not of works, lest any man should boast. So here we find our passage. What the devil does is he likes to blind. That word blind means to obscure, to hide, to make unclear the gospel. He wants to blind their minds by causing their minds to be unclear about this, to be obstructed from understanding it. And how does he do that? Well, the plan of salvation is very clear, so what he wants to do is he wants to make it unclear. The plan of salvation is simple, but he wants to do what he can to make it not simple, to make it complicated. And so he tries to make it not clear, he tries to make it not complicated, and he uses religions to do that. Isn't that incredible? He complicates the simple plan of salvation by coming up with all kinds of religions all over the world. And they're all complicated. Amen. All of them are complicated. You got to do this and do that and ring this and ring that and, you know, light this and light that and bow here and bow there and scrape here and scrape there. Another thing that he does, he brings different Bible versions. People are confused about the Bible. You know, they go to a Bible place to buy Bibles, and the King James section is the smallest section there, if they even have one. And they've got all these new versions, and every one of them is new and improved, new and improved. This one's better. This one's more easily understood. Like, God couldn't make a Bible that everybody could understand. Like, we have to keep changing it and modifying it and modernizing it and bringing it up to date and making it more understandable. No wonder people don't know what's going on. And they read all these different versions, and they're all saying different things, folks. If you ever did any study on the versions, you're going to find verses left out and the deity of Christ left out and the virginity of Mary left out. I mean, there's all kinds of things in those versions. And then There's the philosophies of the world and the good works. And then there's, you know, he blinds the minds of them that believe not with sins and with pleasures and with entertainment and with sports. I'm not against sports. But it is something the devil uses to distract people from Christ. Projects, wars, famines. How about careers? Pursuits, hobbies, problems, physical ailments, scientific and medical promises and research, even space exploration, anything he can come up with to blind our minds, the minds of the unsaved, from finding the truth or even looking. He bombards mankind with so much so he can blind them of their need and blind them of the truth. And when a person dies without salvation in Jesus Christ, they are swallowed up in the lake of fire. And just like those men, those Egyptians back in Exodus, they are seen never again. Think about that. Their souls dying every day. And they're swallowed up by the lake of fire and are never seen again. You know, it's a place of darkness. People think they're going to go to hell and hang out with their buds. They think they're going to go, you know, down into hell and have a party. The Bible says it's a place of darkness and torment. Amen. You're not going to see your buddies in hell. But you will hear them screaming. And you will hear them wailing and weeping and gnashing their teeth, but you won't see them. It's a darkness like the darkness that God sent on Egypt that you could feel, the Bible says. And so there are the doomed. And the devil's trying to swallow up the lost, the doomed. But number two, well, let me say this. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20 says, hell and destruction are never full. Hell and destruction, understand, hell never gets filled up. It never gets filled up so they can't get any more in. There's always room for one more in hell. And the devil's business is to see how many he can get there. Number two, go with me to Luke chapter 8. So the devil's trying to swallow up the doomed, those who will not trust Christ as their Savior. But then there, I want to show you something else. I think that he's, number two, trying to devour the distracted. Luke chapter 8, look at verse 13. Now this is the parable that the Lord gave, and he's about the seed. And if you look up in verse 11, it says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, all right? And it's sown, or it's thrown out. And in verse 13 it says, they on the rock are they which when they hear, what do? They receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Then you go to the next verse. That which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring forth no fruit to what? To perfection. Now, I understand that most of the time when this passage in this parable is preached, that the good ground represents the hearts of those who receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and they get saved, and the other ones are the ones that don't get saved. But let me bring you this application tonight. I see here those who escape the devil's plan to swallow up their soul, so he moves on to plan B and swallows up their lives. Isn't that what Peter said? Lives that could have been lived for God. Lives that could have been fruitful, but they brought no fruit to perfection. Lives that could have been beneficial to others, and lives that could have brought glory to the kingdom of God. However, they were distracted. They were distracted by, number one, temptations. This is talking about adversity and solicitations to evil. And number two, by riches and pleasures, according to verse 14. Many a Christian has been distracted by the things of the world. And I understand we live in the world. I understand we need things that are in the world to survive in the world. I understand. You know, I was just thinking the other day, I was looking at God's creation, and I thought, how beautiful. You know, you see some of these photographs of places around the world. They're just absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. And I said, Lord, if this is how beautiful it is, after thousands of years of decay and thousands of years of the effects of sin, what must it have been like when it was spun from the hand of God in its perfect condition? Eye hath not seen, the Bible says. Wow. It must have been incredible. You know, you look out into outer space and they have these pictures of these quasars and these solar systems and these whatever, and they're just gorgeous. I wonder what they looked like before sin entered into the universe. Wow. And so I understand the world can be a beautiful place. And I understand there are a lot of things in this world that call to our attention. And sometimes we get distracted. You see, once the devil loses you to the Lord, now his job is to swallow you up with distractions or to cause you to be fruitless by distracting you. From what? From the cause of Christ. From the things of God. There are a lot of distractions. And they call out to us. Demas was one. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me. Demas was saved. He was born again. He served with Paul. But he said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Somewhere along the line, Demas just said, you know what? I'm sorry, Paul, but I'm taking off. I'm going out and I'm going to live it up. Perhaps these folks come to church. They even begin to make certain progress. But alas, one day you see them no more. Huh? You've seen, right? They just disappear. They get swallowed up by the distractions of the world. And they're not here anymore. They're not there. They get swallowed up. You never see them again. What could have been will never be. Till they stand before Jesus with a paltry Christian life. And so the devil wants to swallow up Christians with he wants to swallow up the doomed soul, the unsaved soul for all eternity. But he wants to swallow up the Christian's life by distractions. Number two, or three, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The next thing I see that he does, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he wants to swallow Christians up with discouragement. He'll swallow our lives up with distractions. We're running here, running there, all distracted. We never really get to serve God. We never tell people about Jesus. Why? We're just too busy. We're too distracted. But the second thing is discouragement for the Christian. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Talking about a brother who is unruly, a brother who is not obeying the word of God, and the Bible says, don't hang out with them. Why? Because what you're doing is you're making him comfortable in his sin. Where's the consequence? If as Christians we can just live like the world and live in sin and be busybodies and not obeying the word of God and we still have the fellowship of the saints, where's the consequences? So he says, you know what? You don't you don't keep company with them. You don't hang out with them. But it says in verse 15, yet count them not as an enemy. You know, you can go too far, right? But admonish him as a brother. Encourage him as a brother. Just don't hang out with him. I see right here that the devil wants to swallow up the lives of Christians with discouragement. Apparently, there were some in Thessalonica which had become weary. Do you see what it says there? Verse 13, but ye, brethren, be not weary in what? Well-doing. That word weary is ekokeo. It means discouraged. He said, don't get discouraged. Here they are, over here. They're not living for the Lord, and you are living for the Lord. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged in well-doing. We see Christians who once were serving, but they got discouraged and they quit. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, we have the word there is faint. Let's go there. Galatians chapter 6. And look at verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, Paul says to the Thessalonians, don't get weary in well-doing. He says to the Galatians, don't get weary in well-doing. You know why I told them both? Because that's what happens. We get weary in well-doing. We live for the Lord, we live for the Lord, we live for the Lord. Things don't go the way we think. We get discouraged. But this word faint here in Galatians 6 and verse 9 is the word ekluo. It means to relax. Listen to it. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Did you ever get faint physically? You know, you didn't. Maybe you were working real hard. You're outside. It's hot. And you're perspiring. And you're losing a lot of fluids. And you don't eat lunch. And pretty soon you just get to the point. You just get, oh, man, this is... You just can't go anymore, right? You get faint. People have even passed out. And he's telling us here as Christians that we should not get weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not, if you don't relax. We can't let down our guard. That's what he's talking about. We can't let down our guard. For a minute. Why? Because the devil's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so we have our shield of faith up. And if we get tired and we get weary in well-doing and we set that shield down just for a second, poof, he gets us. Right? You have your breastplate of righteousness on. You're doing okay. But it kind of gets hot, and you kind of get tired spiritually, and you take that breastplate off for a second, poof, he gets you. He's just waiting. Paul's saying, don't let your guard down. Don't forget, you have an adversary, the devil. As a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may what? Swallow up. He wants to swallow your Christian life. He wants to swallow you up so you don't serve God, so that you're not a glory to God. In Deuteronomy, we have the word... Mossos for discouraged. It means to melt or to wilt. Melt or wilt. You know what happens if we don't get the sustenance from the Word of God? We're going to wilt. You know, my wife and I were away last week at a conference where I was speaking, and I guess you had a great week. We came back, it rained. But when we were gone, somebody told me on Wednesday it was 95 degrees. Yeah, I came home, all my potted plants are all wilted. They're all like, bleh. Why? Because there was nobody to give them any water. And so they wilted. All my fig trees, all their leaves fell off. And all the figs were all over the patio. You know what happens? They didn't get water. If we don't get the water of the Word, we're going to wilt. In the heat of the battle of the flesh against the spirit and the world against the Christian. And when we wilt, we get discouraged. You don't feel like doing anything. You don't feel like serving. You get down. But there are things we can do to overcome discouragement. One is in Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to look there with me. What can we do to fight this discouragement? Well, you can keep well watered by the word of God. Another one is here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, "For consider him," that's the Lord Jesus, "that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and wilt in your minds." He's saying, look at the Lord Jesus and see your example.
Amen.
And where is the battle here? The battle's in the mind, isn't it? Your fate where? In your mind. The battle's in our minds, folks. We're supposed to be, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. How do we get renewed in the spirit of our mind? Through the Word of God. Through reading it, through hearing it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Look in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke chapter 8, verse, these are things that will help us not to get discouraged. You stay watered by the Word. You keep your eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus. The next one is in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint." There it is again. If you don't keep prayed up, you're going to faint. You know, there's a little song says we sing to the kids that says, "Read your Bible, pray every day," right? And we think, oh, it's a cute little kid's song. No, that's a song for us too as adults. If we're not reading our Bible, we're not being watered. And we're going to wilt. We're going to faint. If we're not praying, we're going to faint. We're going to wilt. We can't stand up under the pressure of the roaring lion unless we're talking to the Heavenly Father. And then go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. There's another one here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 16, he says, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day."
Amen.
Talking about that renewing of the Holy Ghost. That being filled with the Spirit. He says, you know what? There's a cause. What'll keep us from fainting? The cause. There's a cause. The cause of Christ. And we ought to have a motivation in our lives for the cause of Christ. Listen, the whole point of us being here is that somebody somewhere might get saved.
Amen.
Our church is here so that somebody will get saved. We send missionaries so somebody will get saved. We take tracts wherever we go and hand them out so somebody might get saved. We all knock on doors. Why? So somebody might get saved. We have a live stream. We have radio. Why? So somebody might get saved. There's a cause. And Paul says, when I feel like fainting, when I feel like wilting, when I feel like giving up, I remember the cause. There's a cause for us. There's a purpose for us being here. But I've seen it again and again. Somebody is serving. Then the old devil brings about some tailor-made discouragement. And boom! We see them no more. They're swallowed up. And the devil's good at making tailor-made discouragements. Isn't he? I read a story one time about the devil. He had a garage sale. And a guy went to the devil's garage sale and he looking through, you know, all the stuff that's there. And I mean, there was some pretty rough stuff. And it was ugly. And he found this one thing and it was like the ugliest, most beat up, tattered and torn thing there. And it was just disgusting. And he said to the devil, he said, "What's this?" "Oh, that's my best weapon." "Really?" "Yeah," he said, it's all beat up like that because I use that more than any other weapon. Against Christians. And he said, "Well, what is it?" He said, discouragement. Yeah, he just wants to discourage, swallow us up with discouragement so people don't see us anymore. They don't see us serving. The work of Christ suffers because people are swallowed up in discouragement. And rewards are lost forever because Christians are swallowed up in discouragement. And so the devil, he wants to swallow up the doomed, those who won't accept Christ as their Savior, in the lake of fire forever and ever. He wants to swallow up the lives of those who do trust Christ with distractions and discouragement. And the last one is in James chapter 3 and verse 1. James chapter 3, verse 1. He wants to swallow up the disqualified. The disqualified. I didn't say the unqualified. There's a difference between unqualified and disqualified, right? Look at James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, we started out with qualifications of pastors. We find those in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And then in verses 8 through 12, we find the qualifications for deacons. But the devil wishes to devour leaders. Amen. What's the problem? Sheep without a shepherd. Yep. Followers without leaders. Amen. Everybody needs leaders. Yep. All of us need leaders. We're made that way. We're supposed to follow God, remember? But we decided, well, we're not going to follow God. We're going to follow Satan. And we've been following ever since. And then you get saved, and God says, now you got to follow me. And God said, He's used leaders ever since the beginning. Anyone in any leadership capacity in the local church. And there are all kinds of leadership capacities. It's just not pastors and deacons. I mean, actually, most of you in this room are a leader to somebody. Right? Right? Yeah. The devil's looking to take down leaders, swallow them up so that they're not seen anymore. The word masters says here, my brethren, be not many masters. That word in the Greek is didaskalos. It means instructor. Be not many instructors, teachers. Man, that incorporates a lot of people, doesn't it? Why? Because as a leader, as an instructor, he says you have the greater condemnation. In other words, you're held to a higher standard. Why? Because you're leading others. Because people are following you. So you are held to a higher accountability before God. Even the great Apostle Paul was concerned about this. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 27. The Apostle Paul understood this principle. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, here's what Paul said. Well, let's start at verse 26. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said, I don't want to get swallowed up. I'm a leader. Paul said, I'm leading people. Remember, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So Paul said, look, there are folks behind me. There are folks following me. I don't want to get swallowed up. So you know what I do? He said, I keep under my body. I bring it in subjection. I decide what my body is going to do, not my body. He said, my body, of course, all of us, we have certain lusts in our minds and our bodies. And Paul said, I bring that into subjection. I just don't do whatever feels good. I don't just do it. I bring my body under subjection. Why? Because I don't want to have preached to others and myself be a castaway. In other words, he's saying, I don't want to say to people, do as I say, not as I do. You never hear the phrase, practice what you preach? That's what that's talking about. Paul said, I want to practice what I preach. Why? Because I don't want to be a castaway. Now, what does the word castaway mean? Well, it's interesting you should ask that question. Because a lot of people think that means being cast into hell. That's not what it's talking about. That's not what the word means. The word castaway is the Greek word adokimos. Here's what it means. Disqualified. Disapproved for the prize. You're running a race. You take a shortcut. You're disqualified. No prize for you, even if you come in first. And so he said, I don't want to have preached to others. And then when I get there, I don't want to be disqualified for the prize. And yet the devil wants to disqualify leaders. We're seeing it all over the place. We're seeing it all over the news. A lot of leaders. How many leaders have we seen being disqualified? But it's happening in the church. And leaders all over the place are disqualifying. Listen, there's only one person that can disqualify you. That's you. We disqualify ourselves. Why? Because we don't bring ourselves under subjection. Under subjection to what? The Word of God. We can disqualify ourselves. The devil only leaves you alone, listen, after you're defeated. You understand that? You having troubles? Praise God, the devil after you? Well, that's because you haven't quit yet. It's because you're still going. It's because you're not defeated. Once he defeats you and swallows you up, then he goes on to the next person, if you will. Listen, if he can't doom you, he will distract you from growing and changing. And if he can't distract you, then he will discourage you from serving. And if he can't discourage you from serving, then he'll disqualify you. He'll get you to disqualify yourself so that he gets the victory instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember years ago, I read a story about a preacher here in the East Coast. He had a big name and had a big church and had a Christian school and he had a Bible college. Well-renowned and well-respected. And he got pulled over one night because he was drunk. And he looked in the back seat of his car and it was filled with empty booze bottles. Here, he'd been boozing it up for years, but hiding it till he got caught. The Bible says, be sure your sin will what? Find you out. Well, it found him out. School went down the tubes. The college, I don't even know, I never heard anything about it. I don't even know if it's still going. But he sure disqualified himself, didn't he? You see how important it is that you not be ignorant of the devil's devices? He wants to. You're saved tonight? Okay. You're not doomed anymore. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
But you can be distracted. And you can be discouraged. And you can disqualify yourself for the prize. When we get in the judgment seat of Christ, I wonder how many rewards we'll be disqualified from. You see, you make a difference. You make a difference. Every one of you as a Christian. You make a difference somewhere to someone. But you know what's happening? The ranks are being depleted, aren't they? All over the country. The ranks are being depleted. We don't need another casualty. That's going to be requiring a replacement. The devil is kicking at the door. And he wants to swallow you up so that you're not seen anymore. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If the devil's banging at your door, it means you're doing something right. If he's kicking at your heels, nipping at your heels, you're doing something right. Determined to see life through to victory. Humble yourself before God. Cast all your care upon him. Resist the devil, steadfast in the faith. Don't faint. Don't wilt. Don't give up. Perhaps tonight you say, you know what? I have been distracted from what's most important. Maybe tonight you say, I have been discouraged. Or maybe tonight you say, I'm on the brink of disqualifying myself. Or I'm headed in that direction. Then you need to stop and turn around and see Jesus. You need to redouble your resolve to resist steadfastly in the faith. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved. You're part of the doomed. If you're watching or listening and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you are the doomed. You are doomed to an eternity of torment in the lake of fire as the just punishment for your sin against God. But Jesus Christ, God himself, came to earth and became a man and lived a sinless life and shed sinless blood on the cross of Calvary, the one and only requirement that could ever forgive sin was the blood of Jesus. And he shed it on your behalf. He died in your place. He was buried and rose again so that you could have eternal life by calling upon his name and believing on him. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian, and you've been distracted, discouraged, or even disqualified, it's never too late to get started again. Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, this devil, this adversary, walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, I praise you and thank you, my Father, that I'm saved. You took me from the doomed and gave me eternal life. You made me your child by your grace through faith in Christ. I pray you'd help me, my Father, not to be distracted. I pray you'd give me the grace so that I would not get discouraged. And I pray, Father, you would strengthen me so that I will not be disqualified. And I pray that for everyone in this room and every Christian listening and every Christian watching. Help us, my Father, not to fall prey to this adversary who wants to swallow us up so we'll never be seen again. Drown us in distractions. Drown us in discouragement. And drown us in things that disqualify us. Guide and direct in the invitation as only you can. We'll thank you and praise you and give you the glory. For we have the victory in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing number 664. Now, we're talking about channels of blessing. That's what God wants to use you, to be a channel of blessing. So don't get distracted. Don't get discouraged. And don't get disqualified so that you can be the blessing God wants you to be. If you need to pray, you come as we sing on the first.